time now.
This is your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. On Monday, California lawmakers passed several data center bills, which would make data center developers disclose how much water they use and would bar local governments from approving new or expanded data centers unless the developer covers the full cost of any new water pipes, treatment, or storage for the facility, according to CalMatters. Governor Gavin Newsom has until the end of the month to sign or veto these bills. CalMatters also reports that tech companies, AI companies, and PG&E are spending huge amounts of money to make sure California politicians do not put restrictions on the construction and expansion of data centers. The pro-data center spenders include companies like Amazon and AI titan Anthropic, but they are led dollar-wise by PG&E, which earlier this year clocked its second biggest lobbying quarter since 1999. In a CalMatters piece called "The Data Center Backlash is Here and Big Tech is Spending Big to Combat It," reporters Catherine Ortiz and Kari Johnson write, the fate of the measures could have far-reaching consequences, affecting not only data center development, but environmental regulation, utility rates, and how freely California's tech giants can operate in the state. Nationally, advocates and lawmakers agree that California's regulation around data centers could be an important bellwether for how similar fights play out elsewhere. Joining us is Catherine Ortiz, a reporter with CalMatters, where she covers the ways the tech industry influences the lives of everyday people. She also writes for Witness LA and LA Taco. Hi, Catherine. Thank you so much for your reporting on this, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Glad to do it.
Well, before we get into what's happening here in California, data centers are getting so much media coverage. I wonder what your thoughts are overall about the coverage data centers are getting across the country.
Absolutely. So, and this is one of those areas that's really interesting because some of the business interests that I speak to say that the coverage and the outrage around data centers is largely tied to anti-AI sentiment. And this is one of those areas where I think there's a negative truth to that because people are really concerned about the way AI is influencing our world, the way it's shaping our private lives, our personal lives, our work. Data centers tends to be somewhat of a proxy for some of the ways that we're concerned about that. It does go far beyond AI, however, because there are implications for our environment, for how much we're paying in electricity or water rates and far beyond. And then there are, of course, developmental issues, resource allocation issues. So when it comes to the media coverage, we're seeing a lot. I mean, it's just such a prolific issue far and away that we're seeing it left and right, and we really are seeing protests crop up. We're seeing grassroots organizers jump into this issue really fiercely protective of trying to ensure that these centers are not built in their communities, and that's nationwide, but it's also here in California. We had a Gallup poll that came out in May, which showed that 7 out of 10 Americans oppose data construction, data center construction in their communities, and a similar amount of Californians were found to oppose those developments, according to a Public Policy Institute of California poll just a couple months ago.
It's been incredible to see how fast this has all happened. The Guardian reports that 3/4 of people in the U.S. oppose local data center development, a swing of more than 30 points in just 1 year. More than 500 counties and municipalities have passed data center bans or moratoria. You report that hundreds of cities have considered or passed project bans this year, including in Monterey Park, where voters passed a ballot measure to permanently ban data centers. Bay Area cities like Pittsburgh, which backtracked on approvals following public outcry. Why do you think this particular level has just moved so fast?
Yeah, well, so it's important to know that data centers in and of themselves are not new, but these superscalar centers, these really massive developments, and are happening at a new scale, and we don't necessarily know the impact that they're going to have in any long-term capacity. The original kind of centers that were developed, server farms and these kinds of things, we understand had some positive and some negative effects. But the idea that we really have authorized or in some cases moved ahead with some of these massive centers without necessarily fully understanding the scope of their impact, I think is challenging for people to wrap their minds around why we would allow that kind of development without an adequate study or understanding of what this could potentially do for our communities. So that tends to be a big source of the frustration. And then I think there's also the big tech element of it all, that this is these are not always the most popular brands for consumers, the Metas and Amazons of the world. And so when we see that they are behind these kind of projects that we have a lot of questions about, it tends to get people frustrated and wanting to push back. So I think that's that momentum is what we're seeing a lot of.
So it's interesting to watch what is happening in Sacramento, because Democrats have a supermajority in Sacramento. As you report, big money, big tech, AI, and PG&E are all spending big money. The pro data center spenders include Amazon, Anthropic. It's led by PG&E. And then you've got a group called the Data Center Coalition. They count companies like Google, Microsoft, and OpenAI among their members. They logged their second and third highest ever spending quarters so far this year. They spent roughly $60,000 lobbying state lawmakers and the governor's office. And yet, even though they're spending all of this money, a number of bills did pass on Monday. Can you tell us more about those bills?
Yeah, so all seven of the bills that Kari and I tracked managed to make their way through the legislature and are going to the governor's desk to be signed before the end of this month in September. And that is fairly remarkable, given that last year, it was only one bill out of a handful that made it through, and it was a pretty significantly watered down version of a bill that would make public officials have to publish a report on environmental impacts. So the shift in the tenor in public perception on this has radically changed the landscape. And the lawmakers that I've spoken to indicated that they are trying to take that into account. This is a politically sensitive issue for them. This is not popular on either side of the aisle to be pushing these projects through. And so there is a real demand among just the everyday citizen to get reins around this in the form of legislation. And lawmakers, for their part, are trying to be responsive to that. But as the outrage grows, as you noted, as we reported, so does the spending. It may have been less public outrage last year, but with that, there was maybe less funding required to kind of lobby on some of these issues. And so this year, as public outrage has grown, so has the dollar amount that has gone with it for some of these business interests, for these data center interests to try to push these through. And we saw that even despite the spending, there really is still a massive appetite for regulation in this industry right now.
I mentioned what these bills would do in the introduction. Mm-hmm. So again, they would require these data center developers to disclose how much water they use, mm-hmm. and then bar local governments from approving new or expanded centers unless the developer covers the full cost of water pipes, treatment, or storage for the facility. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
So, yeah, I think what's important to know is that each one of these bills, well, you kind of gave a fantastic overview, but each one is kind of incremental in and of itself. There's no single bill here that does it all. And so that is, in part, I think, helpful by design, because that means that one bill failing does not mean there is going to be no regulation on the industry. But it does mean that it is an uphill battle to get all seven of them passed, for example. So there are absolutely measures in here to ensure that electric ratepayers are not paying more than their fair share, and that these massive data centers are taking on the brunt of infrastructure costs or increased usage grid demand. There's a couple measures on that. There's a couple on disclosures for water and electricity usage, environmental impact reports, and then and one is a narrowing of CEQA, or not necessarily narrowing, but a clarification that these data centers could not possibly be exempt from environmental reviews under CEQA, that they would be required to undergo strict reviews. So they are piecemeal, taken together as individual bills, which is going to mean that there's going to be a lot of scrutiny and a lot of different decisions here facing the governor come the end of the month.
Well, and what's so fascinating about this is all eyes will be on Governor Newsom because he's running for president. And so the question is he going to sign or veto these bills? KQED reports that he became directly involved in negotiations over the bills on Monday. He said his administration has been working with lawmakers on several data center bills, and the final versions landed fairly well. Politico reported that. Newsom said, "You're seeing states all across the country leaning in. We will be leaning in." So what are your thoughts? Any idea on what he's planning to do?
Well, right now, this is a very bipartisan issue, so it's not particularly risky for him politically, especially as he gears up for a likely presidential run here, to sign these bills into law. There is not a whole lot of appetite publicly for these to get shot down. Though that said, there is a significant business interest, and the governor last year did veto one of these bills, saying that some regulation on the data center industry could stifle innovation or, become problematic. So it is definitely a more politically popular move at this point to sign these and get these laws into effect. But there is still the fact that Newsom has to weigh some of the business interest as well. These are massive companies, and there's a huge, tech industry in California that is curious to see how this will go. And they are influential as far as spending and jobs and all of the things that benefit the state as far as having these companies in California. But I think right now it's likely, though I don't have a crystal ball, that we'll see many of these pass and become law.
That's so interesting. And also, Politico reports that OpenAI CEO Sam Altman tried to speak with Governor Newsom last week to influence legislation in the state about how chatbots are allowed to interact with kids. KQED reports that California lawmakers passed a bill called Adams Law, which builds on last year's bill that required chatbot operators to disclose when users were interacting with AI companions and to maintain protocols for detecting self-harm content. So given that, how are you planning, given what's going to happen during the midterms and then the next 2 years in the lead up to the presidential election, how are you planning to cover the huge influence and the big money that tech is spending on lawmakers, the midterms, and then eventually the presidential election?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that is the not just a million, but billions and billions of dollar question, is trying to follow what's being done and in these closed doors, because even California, which has pretty transparent laws, does not make all of this information super readily available. So that's where my job and the jobs of my colleagues come in, being able to try to get into the room where it happens and trying to speak with folks who understand what's going on there and piece that together with what little information we do get from public records and try to understand where that influence is going. It is no easy job, and it is can be a little bit slow going, but that's where we rely on the folks who see what's going on to help illuminate that for the rest of us and chat with their local news outlets to understand what's going on. And we spend a lot of our time and resources trying to
I not just do that research, but also when it is necessary, file, you know, records requests and follow up with lawsuits to make sure that there is transparency around what's going on, to make sure that the public knows where all this money is going and what outcomes are being influenced by it.
On today's Media Roundtable, we're joined by Catherine Ortiz, a reporter with CalMatters, where she covers the ways the tech industry influences the lives of everyday people. Catherine and Kari Johnson have a piece out called "The Data Center Backlash is Here and Big Tech is Spending Big to Combat It." So you looked at the first half of this year, found that Amazon paid more than $500,000 to lobby lawmakers on 33 pieces of legislation, including several data center bills and matters related to antitrust and artificial intelligence. Amazon spent more than $1.7 million lobbying California politicians last year. And Catherine, what's amazing about all of this is for a company like Amazon, that's really just pennies.
Mm-hmm. But that is important to know that that's just California too. So that is only in this state. And yes, it is absolutely pennies for them. But you multiply that across 50 states, and then you add in what they're spending lobbying to Congress. And it is a significant expense for them to be pushing whatever measures that they are lobbying for. And then they are also, it's important to know, they're not the only company who are doing it. Frequently, the business interests of Amazon or Meta or X or Yahoo, all of the big tech giants, they're largely related. So the funding ends up being part of a big pool. And then even though it's pennies for these companies, it's a tremendous orders of magnitude larger than what the grassroots organizations can come up with. So although it is not necessarily as expensive for them as it is proportionately, it is, I think, a signal of how significant the kind of David and Goliath type battle is going on in our legislature.
I also think about the fact that there's a big debate among the Democratic Party about the progressive wing, the corporate wing. And I'm wondering if you know in Sacramento, out of the Democrats, you know, how many of them actually accept money from big tech? Do any of the Democrats not accept money from big tech?
Well, that is an upcoming story that Kari and I are working on about some of the direct contributions and independent expenditures that go to individual lawmakers from some of these companies. I don't have a concrete number to offer right at this moment, still doing our reporting, but it is pretty clear when you take a look that there are individual members of the legislature who are open to accepting those kinds of funds, and you can see some changes in the types of laws that they offer and some of the provisions that might be included for enforcement or regulation, and how those differ from some of the other members of the legislature who don't have those kinds of expenses or donations from big tech companies. So it is notable. It's definitely an area we're tracking, and it's something to keep an eye out for.
I would look forward to that piece, because I think because of the Trump administration, so many people are so focused on D.C. Mm-hmm. And it is also so important to focus on Sacramento to find out who's getting money, who's being persuaded. We talked about Amazon. You write that the AI company Anthropic, which sent its first lobbyist to Sacramento last year, spent about $90,000 to influence decisions made by the California legislature. This is according to the Financial Times, nearly tripled federal lobbying spending in the same period. Last year, Anthropic spent over $200,000 lobbying in the state. But the big one is PG&E. Their last filing showed they spent almost $3 million lobbying in California between April and June. Mm-hmm. What struck you about that?
Yeah, the utilities in this case have such a tremendous interest in influencing the data center legislation. We kind of understand why big tech might. That makes sense. This is their infrastructure. But the for utilities operators, it really represents just a massive opportunity for expansion, for grid upgrades, for changes in how they operate, potentially changes in how they charge ratepayers. And so they really want a hand in shaping legislation around how this unprecedented demand might influence their business. And so we see massive spending by, as we reported, PG&E. We also saw some significant spending from other utilities like Southern California Edison or Calpine Corporation, as well as the unions representing utility workers. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers really want it significantly invested in the outcome of these bills. And I don't think that that is going to diminish.
Tell us more about the unions and the role they play.
Yeah, well, I think there is a significant interest among the unions to shape the way these bills come out, in part because they're the folks who are really on the ground floor, right? They're going to be the people who are doing the grid upgrades, and they want to ensure that they're not being asked or tasked unnecessarily to take on Herculean efforts and not get adequately compensated for them. So I think it's like a dovetail almost with the utilities' interests. They are open to that more work, right? But they also want to ensure that they get a piece of the pie.
Well, you told us about the piece that you're working on now. Are there any other pieces you'd like to share?
I'm working on one now, or just published actually, about SB 690, which is a story about a old wiretapping provision that was being kind of weaponized against small businesses and some of the big tech influence behind trying to lobby on that one. And looking forward to doing some additional research on autonomous vehicles and some of the lobbying efforts there, as well as continuing our reporting here on data centers. So got a lot on our plate here.
Well, and I just want to mention, because you all at CalMatters do such great work, I want to mention a couple of other headlines, given Please. That so much is happening. Your colleague Kari Johnson has a piece about California killing bills, regulating flock cameras, even as public rage grows. You, Stella Yu, writes, in standoff with Newsom, California Democrats claw back $450 million for climate projects. That one sounds really interesting. Ben Christopher, why a bill to juice condo construction died, even though California lawmakers voted for it. A Levi Samagase wildfire liability bill dies without a vote on final day of session. These are so important, Catherine, because we know that in California, so many bills pass. It's hard to keep up.
It is. And there's that old saying that about how California goes, it influences and ripples out through the rest of the nation. And I think especially on some of these issues, that's really true. So seeing how these fights play out are really, they set precedent and they end up being bellwethers for how you might see these play out on in smaller states. So they're definitely things to keep an eye out. And I'm proud to be part of a newsroom of colleagues who are so talented tracking a tremendous amount of legislation moving through the state at this time.
Catherine Ortiz is a reporter with CalMatters. Catherine and her colleague Kari Johnson are out with a piece called "The Data Center Backlash is Here and Big Tech is Spending Big to Combat It." Thank you so much, Catherine, to you and everyone at CalMatters for your important work. Thanks for joining us, and we'd love to have you back as we head into the midterms.
Thank you. I'd be happy to be back.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Calls Media Roundtable. We wanted to let you know that this year KALW turns 85. We have a goal to raise $350,000 this month and $1 million by December 31st. KALW has no corporate owners, no distant shareholders, no commercial interests, just the desire and the mission to highlight this place, the people, the stories, the communities who make the Bay what it is. And it's you who keep us that way. It's your gift of support that makes all of this possible. You can give today at KALW.org. Thanks so much for your support.
Pentagon is battling the media on many fronts, even within its own ranks.
The Pentagon fired the editor-in-chief, publisher, and a reporter for the military news outlet Stars and Stripes on Friday. The three employees claimed they were let go for insubordination after they defended their outlet's independence in an interview with CBS Sunday Morning last month.
That and much more on the next On the Media from WNYC.
Later today at 6 o'clock here on KALW San Francisco, KALW.org.
Hey, it's Hannah Baba, host of Cross Currents, and KALW is celebrating our 85th birthday. That's 85 years of being an incubator for the voices and stories you won't hear anywhere else. I want to invite you to help build the next 85 years of KALW public media. You can do that by making a donation today at KALW.org. And thank you.
Left, Right, and Center is next. It's 11 o'clock.
From KCRW, this is Left, Right, and Center.
Welcome to Left, Right, and Center. I'm Susan Davis, in for David Green. Americans are angry about data centers. They don't want them near their homes. They don't want them driving up utility bills. And they say they won't vote for politicians who support them. President Trump argues building more of them won't just help the country's economy, but having them on home soil is critical to our national security, too. How can lawmakers on both sides of the aisle balance those benefits alongside the anger of the public? Plus, ICE switched up its enforcement strategy to attract fewer headlines and increase arrests. But it hasn't changed the public sentiment that the agency's earlier crackdown was far too harsh. We talk about the state of immigration enforcement and how it might be an issue that tips the scales in the midterms. And we take your questions on how to fix the country's massive deficit. That's coming up next on Left, Right, and Center.